Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events on this great day of Wednesday, October 30th, 2013. I just want to say hello to everyone today from around the world. Yes, Al.
You know, this program gets curiouser and curiouser. The more we do this, it becomes an event even for me. I'm not absolutely certain what's going to happen. I show up out of curiosity more than responsibility.
Hey, you don't want to upset me again. Hey, let's get on with the news. Gold today. Gold today is down a dollar, but it was higher for most of the day anyway. You had the gold was down a dollar right now at $1,344. You have silver up 19 cents at $22.83. It was great to see it over $23 earlier today. Had a high of $23.21, so a great day for silver. Platinum was up $9 at $1,477. Palladium was up a dollar at $750. The USDX today was trading stronger at 0.112 at 79.75, so that's moving right along. I think it'll get to 80. We'll just have to see how strong it gets. A lot of pressure on crude oil today, down about a buck and a half at $96.66. That's $96.66. And the paper markets today, I know they were coming off from the lows of the day. Well, they backed off again, I guess, after the Fed came out with their statement. Their rally, anyway, for today lost a little bit of steam, and you had the Dow lose about 61 points at 15,618. The NASDAQ was down 21 points at 39.30. The S&P was down 8 at 17.63. The 10-year yield got back up. Earlier today, I saw it like at 2.47, around that level. It came back up at 0.02 at 2.53%. So, Al, the Fed comes out today. No end in sight for the $85 billion in bonds each month. You're getting over $1 trillion a year. They're going to continue to purchase the bonds, and so that put a little bit of pressure. And I think that's why gold was up stronger in the day, but it came out, and we saw a little reversal in everything. But they finished up their two-day policy meeting It says they're going to keep short-term rates at a record low, near zero, at least as long as the unemployment rate stays above the 6.5%, and inflation outlook remains mild. You know,
now, are they saying the unemployment rate remains above 6.5%? Is that what they're saying for unemployment?
Well, it says as long as the unemployment rate stays above 6.5%, they're going to keep the key short-term rates at a record near low. So there won't be any
interest rates. The interest rates. But in the past, I had heard Janet Yellen say that once unemployment rates drop to 7%, from 7.2 is all they're admitting to now, if I understand correctly, if they just drop down to 7%, she would begin to taper off the quantitative easing. They're not talking about that right now. Is it true?
Well, they're going to continue with the $85 billion a month in bonds. But for the short-term rates for the banks, they're going to keep it at record low, near zero, as long as the unemployment rate stays above the 6.5%. So there's not going to be any changes in what the Fed does until unemployment comes down to around.
Until the whole thing blows up in our face.
And Janet
Yellen. That's the truth of the matter. They are going to continue the system as is until the whole thing just explodes. And then they're going to say, oops. And who will they blame it on? Bush. Blame it on Bush. It'll be Bush's fault.
And Janet Yellen doesn't understand yet. She's not in the power seat yet. So she'll probably come out and say a lot of things until she gets in there. And then, of course, then she finds out that she only does what she's told to do. But the Fed's policy decision was approved on a 9-1 vote with, Esther George, president of the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank, dissenting. And she's actually done that at the last seven meetings. But with the light
maybe the button in front of her desk is just stuck on the dissent.
Maybe.
Maybe the agree doesn't work on that. But
Kansas City's a nice city. But anyway,
you know, it might be. It might be a nice city for what it's worth, because one of the things I remember, this is off ways, but I can remember back, probably in the 70s, when people started to talk about California as the place to be and the best place and rest, that sort of thing. When a particular community is designated, this is the best place in all America, that's the kiss of death. That's when everybody starts to pour into that community. The population swells. All sorts of people go in there, don't have anything, don't know how to make anything, don't know how to build anything. And it's like California. They would have been better off to just say, no, we're really not that good out here in California, and you people probably wouldn't like it. You better stay where you are. California would have been stronger today than it is. Same thing might be true of Kansas City. Not many people talk about it. It's not one of those popular destinations, which means it might be a pretty good place.
But you know what? There's no direct flights into Kansas City.
Whoa!
There's no. You have to fly around the country before you can get to Kansas City. It's amazing. I think because of the popular stop is St. Louis, of course.
Uh-huh.
They just sort of neglected Kansas City, but no direct flights into Kansas City. So
what a blessing.
Very few, I should say.
What a blessing.
Yes.
All right, so
U.S. consumer prices was increased only slightly in September, as we're being told, as higher energy costs offset flat food prices. And the figures are the latest evidence that slow economic growth is keeping inflation tame. So the CPI rose seasonally adjusted 0.2% in September, and that's up from 0.1%. And again, we're looking at high unemployment and meager wage increases have made it difficult for Americans to pay for more for most goods. And that also has made it hard for retailers to charge more. So celebrate low inflation. Getting things out of bargain, aren't we, Al?
Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better. And I see things like this, Melody, and it gives me confidence. That's very important. You know how important confidence is in the economy? I see this kind of information, and I am inspired. I have confidence, and I believe the recovery is just around the corner.
Maybe you should go buy some Apple.
Well, maybe I should. Maybe I should buy some Apple Jack, except I don't drink anymore. I quit drinking 35 years ago, so I probably wouldn't have a use for Apple Jack. Maybe apple juice. And maybe I could get some apple juice.
And in conjunction, hey, it's a great time of year for the apple ciders that all your orchards, your apple orchards are producing. But in relationship to the U.S. consumer prices, they also, Social Security came out today. So, folks, you're going to have an easier life. Those of you who collect Social Security benefits, that's going to rise 1.5% in January.
Yay! Yay! How much? Oh, boy, I can get that Cadillac I've been counting on, Melody. How much extra will I get next year?
About $19 a month.
Oh, my gosh! Happy days are here again. Let the good times roll.
And so that is the cost of living adjustment for Social Security. It's among the smallest since automatic adjustments were adopted way back in 1975. And it just shows that they continue to lie and that consumer prices haven't gone up much in the past year. So one guy says, yay, whoop-dee-doo. He says, but you know what? With his wife's medical bills, it's harder and harder to live. You can't do a whole lot with $19 a month. And certainly I've been told that Medicaid and Medicare premiums are going up. The supplemental insurance that folks carry, that's going up thanks to Obamacare. And I know we're going to be talking about Obamacare in just a little bit. So,
In fact, we may even change the name of this program to Obamacare, right? Or Obamacare Critique.
Hey.
We changed it from Financial Survival to All About Obamacare. Yes.
I read somebody made a comment about Obamacare saying people should quit moaning. Those that are moaning about Obamacare should just look at it as a great thing, helping people get on this, you know, have health care.
And helping other people get poverty.
Yeah.
We help the people in poverty to get health care, and we help the people who aren't in poverty to get into poverty. So then we'll all be in poverty, but we'll have free health care. And maybe the Chinese will pay for it. We don't know. That's a detail that remains to be worked out.
I don't think people should be moaning. They'd be outraged at this because, again, the government does not have the right to tell me what's good for me. I liked my past policy. There was no reason I should have been canceled. And for them to tell me what policies I should have, then I have to have a health care policy that covers medications and covers this. That should be my choice.
Well, it should be your choice if you were deemed to be a woman or a man, right? But in fact, the law is far more complex, and the law presumes us to be animals. And as animals, we only exist on the global plantation. We are here, and the government takes care of us the same way they take care of cows and chickens and goats. And if they think it's necessary to give the cow a shot, they give the cow a shot. And if they want to give the chicken a pill, they give the chicken a pill. Right? Because they're animals, and they don't have any rights. Now, a lot of people sit back and say, well, that's crazy talk. That can't possibly be. That man Adusk has lost his mind. But Adusk has not lost his mind. Adusk has read the law. And you could read it, too, if you cared to, ladies and gentlemen. If you get a paper and a piece of and a pen, you can write down some information I'll give you right now, or you can go looking for this. It takes a little bit of finesse to find it on the Internet. It's a little bit of a problem. It's not a terrible problem, but because you're looking for law, if you're not used to searching for law, it'll be challenging. But it's not the least bit impossible. You can look for 21 U.S.C. Section 321. That's 21 U.S.C. U.S.C. stands for United States Code. 21 U.S.C. Section 321. And this is definitions for Chapter 21, Title 21 of the United States Code. The 21 is Title 21 of the United States Code, Section 321, definitions. And they define state and territory and interstate commerce, and a number of person is another one in there that's in there. But here is one that's interesting. The term food means, one, articles used as food or drink for man or other animals. Two, chewing gum. Three, articles used for components of any such article. Note that food is defined by law. to be articles used for food or drink for man or other animals. It doesn't say man or animals. It says man or other animals. That means the law presumes anyone who is eating food in this country to be an animal. This is no small thing, because as an animal, you have no significant rights. It's only as a man, particularly a man made in God's image, that you can claim the God-given unalienable rights under your Declaration of Independence. It's only as a man that you can protect yourself against some of the abuses of government. As an animal, you are livestock, and they'll feed you or not, and they'll give you drugs or not whenever they see. Now, this was subsection F. Again, we're talking about 21 U.S.C. 321. Section 321. And now we look down, you scroll down to subsection F, that's the definition of food. The term drug means A, articles recognized in the official United States Pharmacopoeia, and they go on with a few more instances. B, articles intended for the use in the diagnosis, cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease in man or other animals. C, articles other than food intended to affect the structure or any function of the body of man or other animals. The definition of drugs presumes the American people to be animals. Everyone who's in jail right now on a drug-related crime is there based on the presumption they are nothing but animals. If these people understood that our government started with the presumption, it starts out with, in fact, the premises, the fundamental foundation of our government. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those rights go to men. They do not go to animals. If you're an animal, you have no significant rights. Melody is complaining that the government shouldn't be able to do this. And the government says, yes, we can, because we've passed laws that presume you to be an animal. The term device, this is subparagraph H in 21 U.S.C. section 321. All right. The term device is also defined in terms of man or other animals, and devices applies to medical devices. And the reason I bring this to your attention is because there is no Obamacare without drugs. There is no Obamacare without medical devices. Virtually all of American medicine involves either drugs or medical devices, and both are repeatedly defined in terms of man or other animals. As an animal, you don't have any rights. I strongly suspect that this may be one of the principal purposes behind Obamacare. I've seen where one analyst looking at this, he points out they don't even care if you're a citizen. You must sign up for Obamacare. They don't care if you're an illegal alien. You got to have Obamacare. That's what they want you to get. Why is it so important even to get non-citizens signed up? And I suspect the reason may be to create the presumption that you have consented to live as an animal. And if you people are dumb enough to live as animals, you are going to be harvested like chickens on a Tyson poultry processing plant. And again, if this sounds crazy, if this sounds mad, you go ahead and chase down Title 21, United States Code, Section 321, scroll down through the definitions, look for F, food, G, drugs, H, device, as used in medical devices. Right? We are in a very strange and difficult situation right now, and those of you who want to accept, just lean back and enjoy Obamacare, guess what? You're going to be raped, folks, and I suggest you do not plan on enjoying it. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We're having a couple of communications problems today. Melody had a problem with her microphone yesterday and day before, and there were sections where the sound just dropped out, so she got a new microphone, and now it sounds like she's talking through a pipe, and this isn't unusual. I've had several microphones I've tried myself, and I paid good money for them. And some of them generate an acceptable sound, and some of them do not. Even though you've paid a reasonable price for them, sometimes they just don't seem to generate an acceptable sound. And so we're fooling around today, and Melody has now returned on the telephone here to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Do we have a special for the folks today, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners that tomorrow, the 31st, is today and tomorrow. Your names will be placed in a drawing for the rest of the names from the complete month of October for a drawing that we will have on Friday for a Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold piece and a tube of 21-ounce silver eagle. So make sure you get your orders in today and tomorrow. For today, I think we'll include all free shipping on orders, and if you're listening to the program, either now or to the late night listeners, we'll include a 1 ounce silver eagle in your order, free of charge. So we'll get that figured out for you, so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, DGS. For Discount Gold, Silver, Coins.com. And when you give us a call, you're going to get great prices. You know, I'm constantly checking prices with my competitors. I go online. I look at those guys on there. And, you know, they all have the little disclosure that says, you know, the product that you will receive is not quite the same as the picture. And I've talked to many people. I've seen a lot of product from a lot of these websites. Not all, not every, but a lot. And a lot of the coins are damaged. And, of course, they have a disclaimer there that your coins will not be in mint condition. Well, here at Discount Gold and Silver, you get mint condition coins, even on gold bullion coins and silver eagle coins, the beautiful coins. And everyone gets looked at. If it's not acceptable, you don't get it. It, you know, usually the savings from something that's all beat up to a nice quality coin is a couple bucks. And, so, you know, get something of value, get something that's nice, because in the long run, it will do you better than something than trying to save a couple bucks. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. Quality is important. And that's something that we've lost, Al. You know, we get all these cheap trinkets.
Yeah, cheap trinkets. I've got. I'm holding a $10 bill in my hand right now, which actually is, which is technically worth 3-4 cents.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In terms of the cost of making the bill, and in terms of its actual price, I don't know. It might be worth a quarter compared to what it was back 1971. $10 bill. I'm not sure what it's worth, but roughly a quarter, say 50 cents compared to 1971. You talk about they in their advertising, they said the actual product may not look exactly like the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if they had to put if they had to be compelled to put some sort of a disclaimer on our paper money that the purchasing power may not be exactly as in the picture. You know, they say it's a $10 note, but can you actually purchase $10 worth of goods with it? As compared to, say, 40 years ago? Or can you get a quarter's worth of goods, 50 cents worth of goods? Should they have some sort of a disclaimer, a little truth in advertising on our paper dollars, Melody?
They should, but they don't.
Not in this life. Not until donkeys fly or elephants fly or something like that, but livestock for sure must fly. And then maybe we'll see some truth in advertising on our currency. But it's the same idea. You know, you want to get something that has real value. And you have to become sensitive to discerning value on your own. Not just taking everyone else's opinion for value. You've got to be able to, you know, you've got to have an input on this yourself where I say, well, you know, I think this car right here with a good paint job is worth more than this otherwise identical car whose paint job is worthless. You've got to be able to spot the nicks and the dents and the rest of that and govern the value accordingly. And it's something everyone's aware. I'm belaboring the obvious on one level, and yet we don't really apply our capacity to perceive to the extent that we should when we deal with all sorts of financial instruments, paper dollars, you know, 401ks, pension funds, bank accounts. We just walk in the door and trust everybody and we don't read the paperwork. I'll bet that everybody in this audience, just about everybody in this audience, has a bank account. And everyone who has a bank account received some sort of documents from the bank that you had to sign. And every one of you signed those documents, and I doubt if more than 5%, and it could be 1% or less, actually read the documents and understood them. We don't read them because we can't understand them. That's basically the reason we don't read them. But we live at times when it becomes necessary. It used to be that maybe you could trust people and just sign your name and you didn't have to actually read the document. But those days are pretty much gone. You're going to have to actually pay attention to what you're signing and understand what you're signing. And to the limit of your ability to do so, you will enhance your probability of surviving and prospering. And if you can't read and understand what you're signing, you're likely to come to some very difficult times. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, back in 1929, this is the, you know, it's interesting. You know, what's really interesting is I just noticed this. Yesterday I was talking to somebody about, you know, the crash of 1929, and it was October 28th, Black Monday, where investors started to get out of the market. And then on October 29th, Black Tuesday, which correlates to this year, about 60 million shares were traded, and the Dow lost an additional 30 points, but You had a lot of big bankers come in and pick up some shares to just kind of instill some confidence in the markets, pretty much what they're doing today. And so it's an anniversary that, again, we've seen so many recessions over the years. Ever since the Federal Reserve has held over, all the has presided over the nation's crashes of, there's been quite a few of them, with Black Monday of 1987 and, of course, 2001, and as of recent of the 2008, which a lot of us don't believe we've actually come out of. That's because the economy has not gotten better. But, again, this is, it's going to happen again. We're going to see, they called it recession, what we had in 2008. Many looked upon it as the Great Depression. Ben Bernanke was a, he followed very deeply the Great Depression. He was a
student,
thank you, of the Great Depression. So it's interesting.
You know what else is interesting, though, about the Great Depression?
And plus it's 100 years for the Federal Reserve this year. So interesting dates.
So should we bake them a cake?
No.
What's their birthday? Should we have a special? Maybe we should have a cake. Everybody listens on the day of the Federal Reserve's birthday.
Well,
they can bring their own cake, and we'll all blow out 100 candles at the same time. What do you think?
Well, I don't think a cake is necessary, but I'll guarantee you there's a lot of people that's going to have pie in their face if they do something about themselves.
I think cake is appropriate because I kind of think that people at the Federal Reserve are probably, when they're talking about the hungry Americans, they're saying, let them eat cake. Huh? So maybe we should have a birthday cake. In any case, I'll give you another one that's interesting to me. There is a report from Fox News. Right? This isn't just your run-of-the-mill internet report. I saw the video. It was reported by Fox News. The government has spent, federal government has spent $80 million preparing for possible riots in New York City and maybe Washington, D.C. November 1st, 2 days from now. Okay? Possible riots, $80 million. What are the riots all about, Melody? Do you know?
I don't know.
The government is changing the food stamp laws.
Oh,
it's not clear that anyone's actually going to lose any of their food stamps, but they are going to be moderated. The procedures, at least, are going to be moderated. And because the government fears that the food stamp recipients may riot, the government has expended $80 million on the off chance they might have to gun down a few food stamp recipients in order to protect the offices of Social Security and a few other government offices. Now, what's interesting about this is they're not concerned. They're not spending $80 million because the taxpayers might riot about paying too much to the government. No. They're not worried about the taxpayers. They're worried about the tax recipients. They're not worried about the people who pay taxes might riot. They're good little Germans. They're going to just keep paying taxes. They don't want to make any waves. It's the people who are on welfare. It's the people who are taking food stamps who may wind up posing the greatest threat to the government's stability. Now, this is very interesting to me and fantastically ironic because the government itself is the one that's responsible for increasing the number of welfare recipients and increasing the number of food stamp recipients in this country, and they've done it by shipping our jobs overseas. They cut our tariffs down, they shipped our jobs overseas, and now people are going hungry, and the government says, well, we got to feed them. And I'm not being critical of food stamp recipients, you understand. That's not my point. The government has created an environment where it's difficult for people to survive. We could have done it if we still had our jobs and our factories in this country. As it is, we don't, and therefore we have a serious, serious problem. And it is exactly the people that the government has impoverished that the government is coming to fear. And the government impoverishes more people every day. It's building the class, the volume of people who are likely to riot. The one class that isn't likely to riot are the rich. But their numbers are actually growing. Their wealth is their numbers are not growing. Their numbers are diminishing, although their wealth is growing. 10%, 5%, they're controlling most of the wealth in this country. 90% are in trouble or will be in trouble as if things keep going the way things are. So it's interesting to me. Government is creating food stamp recipients, and food stamp recipients are the ones government is afraid might riot this coming November 1st. That would be this Friday, day after tomorrow.
Well, you know, recently we saw when the food stamp credit cards didn't work, what happened at several of the Walmarts. And so, you know, is it a sign of what some people can do? I don't think all people would do it, but some people could very well do it. So, and you know what? We talked about this previously on a program, and Michael Snyder came out with 29 incredible facts which prove that poverty in America is absolutely exploding. And what we talked about the program, he has started out on his first part about how Americans on welfare is higher than the number of Americans that have full-time jobs. And this is something I didn't know, that 1.2 million public school students in the U.S. are currently homeless.
Yeah, I understand. And the reason for this, in my estimation, I won't say it's the only reason. There are undoubtedly more than one. There's a constellation of reasons. The primary reason for this problem was shipping our jobs overseas, cutting our tariffs, committing ourselves to global free trade, and instead of building products in Texas that we can sell in South Dakota, now we have to build products that we can sell in China, and we have to compete against cheap Chinese labor. And the result is we have seen a huge number of Americans impoverished. The government claims the unemployment rate is only 7.2%. John Williams at ShadowStats.com says it's closer to 23%. If we calculate unemployment the way it was calculated 20 years ago, we have 23% unemployment. The government says, no, it's only 7.2%. I think the government is lying. I believe John Williams. I don't believe the government. I don't know what the true number is, but I believe it's much higher than what government reports. Because government doesn't want to admit the problem, because the only way, how are we going to solve unemployment without creating more jobs? And how are we going to create more jobs if we don't produce things? How many more people do we need in this country who will work as manicurists or masseurs? Masseuses, whatever. There's only so much service work you can do. Sooner or later, you actually have to produce something, and we've sold much of our productive capacity. Not sold, but transferred it overseas. The jobs went, the industries went, the people, the employees stayed here. And now they want money to feed themselves. And they're angry if they don't have it. They don't even understand what's been done to them. They are frustrated. They are unemployed. They're living in their folks' basements. And they're wondering where it all went wrong. It went wrong when people trusted their government to engage in global free trade and a new world order rather than just doing what they're supposed to do under the Constitution, which is take care of the 50 states that comprise the United States of America. Mexico's not our problem. Canada's not our problem. England's not our problem. Europe, Asia, South America, Africa, not our problem. And we don't need to mess with them unless they mess with us. And then the only thing they need to do is we will kill them in numbers they cannot imagine. But as long as they don't mess with us, we don't mess with them. We make products. We'll make our own computers. We'll make our own TV sets. We'll make our own automobiles. And the prices of those products will go up. And people will say, oh, my gosh, that's a crazy idea. We'll pay more if we buy only American-made cars and we have only American-made computers. The price is going to go up. Yes, it will. But so will the number of jobs in this country. And instead of having a fifth of the population unemployed, we're going to have close to full employment. And when enough people have jobs, enough people have money to spend, and we all prosper. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Did you say we had a caller on the line?
That's what Frank says. That's what the producer says. And you know, he wouldn't lie to us, I'm pretty sure.
Not after yesterday.
No, not this close.
Let's
not this
go to
close.
The caller,
he's on his good behavior today. You understand? As am I. Let's talk to David from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, David.
Yes, sir. Hey, I was wondering.
David, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All righty. You know, after this last election, when you had 140% of the registered voters voting in some precincts and 160% in other precincts voting, has the government reached a point where they don't really need to buy the votes with the welfare recipients, the food stamp people?
You know, that's a good question.
Can they go it alone?
You know, the problem they have with welfare recipients is, although they are in favor of government, they don't generally get out and vote. You know, unless they see that the gravy train is coming to an end. But other than that, they're not typically a strong voting bloc in the sense that seniors are, for example.
I think that's why they went around and picked them up in buses and stuff.
Well, that may be. Mm-hmm. I probably suppose it won't be long. First, they're picking them up in buses, and it won't be long. They're not only picking them up in buses, they're gonna have to take them out for dinner and a movie after they vote.
Well, I think it's simpler than that. I think maybe they got their vote counters already seated.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really matter, you know, it's like those good Russians said, it doesn't matter how the people vote, who counts the votes.
That's what matters. It doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. And unfortunately, there's a lot of suspicion that may be increasingly true in this country. I don't think it's true to an overwhelming extent, but I think it's true to a significant extent. And what's even more true and more harmful is the fact that it's tolerated. On one hand, I guarantee I don't necessarily blame the people who cheat in the elections. human nature being what it is. I don't justify them. I don't accept it. I don't approve it. But I recognize human nature is such that it's difficult to resist the temptation to cut corners if it means you get to win. That happens. But what shouldn't happen is the referees, and that includes we the people, allow the cheating to go on. It's going on right in front of our face. 140% in some communities voted. You know, that's like they must all be super patriots. I guess if you're a super patriot, David, then I guess you can vote more than once. Anything else you got for us, David?
No, I still think it goes back to who counts the votes.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I think it's a question of how much. It's a question of how much. No doubt that's true in a lot of instances. Is it true in most instances or only some instances? I don't know.
Oh, the other day, the word was symbiotic relationship.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I remember I was looking for the word and I couldn't think of it. I thank you. I thank you for bringing it to my attention. All right, David, thanks very much. We'll talk to you another time, and thanks for listening to the program. What's next, Melody?
You know, we're talking about jobs, and we're talking about all the trade agreements, NAFTA, and all those that need to be, you know, basically canceled or rewritten or just eliminated. With Snowden and all the spying on the European nations, we know Obama is working one of his top goals that he's working very hard for is a sweeping free trade agreement that would add an estimated $138 billion a year to everyone's economy's gross domestic product. But there's backlash in Europe over the U.S. spying, and that's threatening the agreement that generates tens of billions of dollars in transatlantic business every year. Now, this is something totally different, and I wasn't aware of it, but there's a growing number of European officials are calling for the suspension of an agreement that's called Safe Harbor. And that lets U.S. companies process commercial and personal data, sales, emails, photos from customers in Europe. And this is a little known, but vital deal allows more than 4,200 American companies to do business in Europe. And you're looking at internet giants like Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon. And so with the revelation of the extent of the U.S. spying on its European allies, that is also threatening the top transatlantic goal of that sweeping free trade agreement. So maybe the spying, you know, might come in handy, or these are just idle threats from these European nations. And but the European Union is looking to perhaps slap a sanction on the U.S., which would be to suspend that Safe Harbor deal.
Let me ask you this about Safe Harbor. Do you understand whether Safe Harbor, is it simply an extension of global free trade, or is it a special environment where they can do business where they supposedly aren't going to be monitored by the European or American governments, and they can kind of cut whatever deals they want to do out of you know, beyond scrutiny of the government? Do you know?
Well, since it's such a little known deal, a small agreement, but when you're looking at 4,200 companies, and you're looking at the giants, the internet giants, I think it's going to have to.
There's
got to
be something shady going on there. This can't just be a place where you get drinks at half price.
No,
there's got to be something shady happening here, or people wouldn't bother it wouldn't appear to be exclusive. It wouldn't appear to have a restricted clientele. It's like first class on, you know, an airline. You'll get more than just a bag of peanuts when it comes time for lunch.
Well, a lot of these computer companies like Facebook and Microsoft, they didn't have to change any of their, you know, their ability to process. You know, they were able to use the same processing that they used here in the States, so it did help them save lots and lots of money. They didn't have to redesign their technological infrastructure. And you also have a lot of these, you know, these companies and people in Europe would be hurt because they use these internet U.S.-based services anywhere from booking flights, email providers. So, you know.
Well, we'll watch and see. We can, you know, it would be a good thing. A lot of people to say hooray for global free trade. But from the beginning, I've understood that this would be nothing but bad for the vast majority of the American people. The only Americans that can prosper under the global free trade, the concept of global free trade, are those who are in positions to sell products in this country and have products made in foreign countries. And that's a relatively small number of people. It corresponds to a significant degree with the tiny minority, the diminishing minority of people who make a lot of money and own most of the wealth in this country. Ultimately, much of their wealth is translating from what they can have built in cheap labor in China and sold for maximum costs here in the United States. They can make maximum profits for themselves, but in the process. And they say, hooray, hooray for global free trade. This is just so cool. Yeah, but what about Joe Sixpack? What about the guy who doesn't own a manufacturing facility or isn't directly connected to a manufacturing facility in China and that he's selling the product here in the United States? Where does he go for a job? His job has been shipped over to China, not all of them, but a lot of them. And the result is rising unemployment in this country. And the additional consequence are lowering wages. You can't have global free trade where the people of the United States are going to compete head-on with the people of China and maintain the standard of living that we formerly enjoyed in the United States. Global free trade will be great for China. It's going to boost them, pull them up by their bootstraps. They're going to do great, but the American people will necessarily suffer a dramatic loss. There's no way you can avoid the pressure to see American wages to be diminished at the same time Chinese wages are going up. When there's an equilibrium, we will all live on wooden. We'll have vehicles that have wooden wheels on them. You can take your girlfriend out for a date on Saturday night in your own ox-drawn wagon.
You know, what's interesting about this is because we talk about all the data calling for over the U.S. citizens and so forth, but when you look at the companies involved, when you talk about Google and Facebook, we all know that they work with the government providing it and pulling this data. That means they're also pulling the data from European citizens, yeah. not just the leaders, just not Merkel and just not some of the top officials and spying. It's the citizens. And what's interesting, too, is in Brussels, where this meeting and the discussion is going on, so far there has been a vote by the European Parliament urging Europe to stop sharing bank transfer data with U.S. law enforcement and terror investigations, but it still needs approval from the European Commission and from all 28 national governments. You know, so, you know, this could be just a lot of, you know,
yeah, it's just a lot of posturing, more than likely. Yeah. They really need approval from the central banks of the world, and I don't think the central banks will give approval on this. They'll posture, but the truth is they're spying on everyone. The people in government in positions of significant power in European government said, oh, yeah, it's okay to spy on the rest of the peons who live in our country, but don't spy on us. We are, you know, we're the big-time officials, and they found out, oh, no, you're not. You know, from the NSA's perspective, you're just some more punks on the street. And that's what has Merkel and the rest of them angry. So they're being treated like commoners. The NSA doesn't recognize them as royalty. Well, the world is mad, getting madder all the time. And what do you do about it? You know, one of the things you can do is you can look at something like Sears. Sears is in a state of disrepair. And maybe it'll survive and maybe it won't. I don't know. There may be a renaissance for the business. But I remember when Sears, I was a kid, we used to buy products from Sears. The shelves were always stacked. It was neat and clean and wholesome and the rest of that. I went into Sears about 4 years ago, and it was just grubby. And it was around Christmas time, and the stores were half empty, and there weren't any other customers in there. There were only a couple of people working in the place, and they weren't too eager to give any service. They were just putting in their time. I thought to myself, this is a corporation going into bankruptcy. I saw an article today in Dealbook where someone else did a survey of Sears stores in a couple of states. I think it was New York and New Jersey, but I don't remember clearly. And he looked at all of them, and everyone he saw was grubby. What happened to Sears? How did Sears fall from being one of the great corporations in this country to being now something that is, you know, marginally, you know, profitable? And I think the answer can be seen by looking at Walmart. What happened to Walmart? Walmart succeeded at the same time Sears went down. Why? Because Walmart bought its products that were made with cheap Chinese labor. And they were able to undercut the price of Sears, whose products were primarily made here in the United States. And people being what they are, if they can get a better deal at Walmart, they'll go to Walmart instead of Sears. Even though we subscribe in our hearts to the idea of Buy American, the truth is we will buy the cheapest we can find, and we don't care if it's produced by Christians or communists or whoever. It makes no difference. Who's got the best price? That's where I'm buying. That's how people think, and that's the way people typically work. How do you compel people to buy American rather than foreign products? And the answer is you do it on a national basis, not individual. You have to lean on your legislators, the people in Congress and the Senate. You have to compel them on no uncertain terms to restore high tariffs. And if they do, industries will have to relocate back into this country. And when they do, they will bring jobs into this country that will provide employment for the people that are currently unemployed. And on top of which, we'll also see higher wages for the people that have jobs in these factories. And a lot of people bitch and say, oh my gosh, I have to pay more for a computer. Yes, you do. You'll have to pay more for a computer that's made in America, and you'll have to pay more for a car that's made in America. But the excess cost you're paying will go to one of your neighbors who's working at manufacturing those cars or those computers. And the result will be, instead of seeing one or two houses on your block fold up and vacant because the owners went bankrupt and they lost the homes in foreclosure, you're going to see a vibrant community. We'll have to pay more, but we would also be paid more. We'd have higher wages. We would restore the American dream. It can happen if we lean on our legislators and say, look, we want tariffs restored. To hell with the global with global free trade.
Heck.
Restore to helk. Yes, to helk.
To helk.
We restore that, restore those high tariffs, get out from under global free trade, and we can begin to rebuild American prosperity. And if you're not prepared to do that, you are going to watch this country continue to slowly degrade, just like it's doing right now. You see it with your eyes. It's going to continue to do that as long as we allow our products to be built for cheap wages in China and sold in this country. We can't, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want cake, you got to build, you got to make the cake. You got to grow the grain, you got to make the cake, you got to put the frosting on, and then you get to eat it. If you're not going to make the cake, you are going to go hungry. When you sell all your cake-making facilities to China, guess what? You're not going to get any cake. The time is coming when you will have, you know, let them eat what? What do you eat when you don't eat cake, Melody? I'm not sure. So, scorpions, snails, what? We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.